But I've noticed a pattern for November over the past few years. November, God gives us a decree to release. So I asked myself why. 31st of October is when the occult released decrees for the will of Satan to be done in families and homes, people's lives, nations. And God gives us a decree in November which is more powerful than the decrees from the occult. See, so it's important to listen to the Spirit of God when He gives you something that's been authorized from heaven, that has the, because a decree is an official order that has the backing of the law. So when we give a decree from God, that you know that it's from God, it's an official order from God that has the backing of God to see it become a reality. And that's the reality of decrees. You have to listen to people that have been in the occult to see the reality of Halloween, because Christians think it's just fun and it's just a wonderful time and, you know, that kind of stuff. But Halloween, for those in witchcraft, in the occult, is like Good Friday for the believer. See, it's a huge celebration for the demonic realm. In the demonic realm, in January, Satan gives the assignments to his army and have to finish it by December. So when it comes to October, the amount of curses and decrees that are being released because they may be falling behind the assignments. And if they don't finish the assignment by December, there's huge punishment that comes their way from the demonic realm towards people that are being used by Satan. And so October, Halloween, is that time where it's like there's a veil that's been removed. There's far more sensitivity on Halloween's day to be able to break through into the demonic realm and to release whatever needs to be released. But we, yeah, we are privileged people, redeemed by the blood of Christ, taken out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God. And we decree the king's law. We decree the king's command, the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we can change history as children of God. We can bring about, we don't have to allow what has been released from the kingdom of darkness to become increasing and become a reality. We are in the kingdom of God, and we can release what our king wants and the will of God to be done. And so that's what today is all about, is we're going to release two decrees. The greater manifestation of the kingdom of God and the greater manifestation of the glory of God is what God wants us to decree, that overrides any other decrees that have been given by the demonic realm. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. But I need to just give a little bit of foundation, first of all, so that there's understanding. We've been speaking a lot about being yoked with Jesus. And this is, when you're yoked with Jesus, remember, you've laid aside your own yoke, you've laid aside your unbelief, you've laid aside your offense, you've laid aside our doubts and all that kind of stuff, and our inferiority complex and our need to be accepted and loved, all of that, because that was part of the old creation, who we were before we got born again and became a new creation. So we, by faith, have laid that yoke down. We're no longer who we used to be. Now we picked up the yoke of Jesus, and now we yoked with Jesus. We are in union with Jesus. We are in union with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the emphasis that God has been sharing with us over the past few weeks has been the reality of particularly in the area of prayer and faith, to be able to be yoked with Jesus when you're praying for a family, to be yoked with Jesus as you pray for a community, as you pray for a nation. Because when you're yoked with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, you will find He's the author of faith. And you will find faith just flooding, and you will know nothing is impossible. So when you speak what Christ is releasing for you to speak, you know you have the Father, Son, Holy Spirit involved with seeing it being fulfilled. And you will find over there a tremendous faith. So when Jesus is speaking, or he's the transfiguration, we're going to get to that now. But when he comes down and this man comes running to him and says, "Please, won't you heal my son? He's been demon-possessed," and the disciples have come and they've tried and this demon's not leaving, they can't heal him. And Jesus says, "You perverse and wicked generation." Truth is love. See, he's releasing tremendous truth to help them to come away from a deception, because these are the religious people and they're deceived. And so he speaks into their lives. And then the disciples come and they say, "But Jesus, why couldn't we do this?" And Jesus says, "Simply because you don't believe. You have doubt. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, whatever you ask, it'll happen. Nothing is impossible for those who believe." And so over the past few weeks, as we've been looking at that particular scripture in Matthew 11 about the prayer of Jesus and sharing, "Father, you are the Lord of heaven and earth." And as we've been looking at the reality of the sovereignty of God, He's the owner of all things. He's God. Yet He has made an incredible way for the kingdom of God to be manifested on earth in the midst of His sovereignty. He could at any time just do what he needs to do with all wicked, and he can open the earth and swallow the earth like he did in the Old Testament. But he has chosen that in his son Jesus, and through his son Jesus, we are able to see the reality of the will of God expressed through Jesus Christ for all people to be saved. And that's why Jesus was anointed to set the captives free, good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted and so forth. Okay? And so we began to look over the past few weeks where we notice over there that Jesus came and Jesus was born a king. So when he was born, the wise men came and said, "We see the star, a king has been born." And they came and King Herod heard that the king of the Jews has been born. Because Jesus is the king of the kingdom and he's bringing in the rule, the reign, the will of God. Okay, and so that is what we've been looking at, and we've looked at the reality that the kingdom of God is the reign, it's the rule and the will of God being manifested on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Jesus taught us, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." That's why Jesus taught us, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And that, so everything now that we are learning is for Jesus and the Great Commission. He says to the disciples, "Teach them everything that I've taught you." And so they have taught us, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." They have taught us teaching of Jesus to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And so it's very much that's why the decree is the greater manifestation of the kingdom of God, of the reign of God over a nation. It all belongs to him, but in a specific way, through his son Jesus, the power of the cross, the centrality of the cross, his death and resurrection, what he has done to set man free from being controlled by sin so that they can have eternal life. And we, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, that's our calling. That's why we're here on this planet Earth. That's why we seek first the kingdom of God. That's why we don't build our own self-centered lives. We are building the kingdom of God. And all these other things are flowing into our lives. So it's our priority. So when we make a decree, we are decreeing in agreement with God, and are hopefully all of our lives are surrendered to be able to be part of the fulfillment and the manifestation of the decree of God's kingdom manifesting more than it has been, and his glory manifesting more than it has been. Okay, and that's the joy that you and I can find ourselves as we look at this morning. So here in Psalm 24, this psalm, most of the sort of commentators, the commentaries, bring it to the time when David, as the king of Israel, is leading the people to go and fetch the Ark of the Covenant. That remember, it had been captured by the Philistines, and to bring it back into, again, to Jerusalem. And so this is the backing of this psalm. And so again, we see God, who is Lord of all. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. And then he goes on, now this is where they are going to go and fetch the ark. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand on his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who do not lift up his soul to an idol, or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. And then in verse 7, lift up your heads, O your gates. Be lifted up, your ancient doors, for the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O your gates. Lift them up, your ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. This is our time to see the increase of this. I've asked this question a few times with people, and they can tell me all about the wickedness in a town, in a nation. So I always ask him, can you see the kingdom of God? And it's like, what do you mean? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Don't seek first the kingdom of darkness. See, you're so preoccupied and caught up with all the evil and the wickedness, you're not able to see the kingdom of God because you're so captured by what you see. Those who are born of the Spirit can see and enter the kingdom. For those who are born of the Spirit and are walking in the Spirit, you can see the kingdom of God operating and manifesting. That's why we travel light. That's why we are the light. That's why we have hope. We've got faith. We've got courage as children of God. Because we know we're in a kingdom. Okay, let it increase. So let's have a look. In Daniel chapter 2, remember Daniel has a dream. King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And so the people can't interpret the dream. And Daniel comes and he begins to interpret the dream. So in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm just going to read verse 44 to verse 45. Because this is part of our decree that we're going to be sharing just now. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will self endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not of human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. Now the background over there, remember Nebuchadnezzar had that dream of this massive golden image. The head was gold. And Daniel interprets it, the different parts of this image, these four kingdoms that will reign on the earth. And the first image was the golden one, which was the Chaldean Empire. And then the second one was the silver, which was the empire of the Medes and the Persians. And then there was the belly, which was your Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great. And then it was the legs and the feet, which signified the Roman Empire, and the 10 toes, because the Roman Empire branched into 10 kingdoms as the toes of those feet. Some were weak as clay and others as strong as iron. And there was always a trying to unite them, but it never happened. And then comes this kingdom after this, at this Roman Empire stage. Then comes this kingdom that is not cut out by human hands. Christ is born at near the end of the Roman Empire. And Christ brings in this kingdom of God that will never fail, that will grow and increase on this earth, so that every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings. And so we see the incredible fulfillment of this prophecy, that this dream that that Nebuchadnezzar has, and it's a prophetic word concerning the future of the life of Israel and the nations surrounding it. And history shows the exact formation, the exact pattern, those four kingdoms. Christ is born in the last one over there, and then he begins to manifest the reality of the kingdom of God. What's happened to those nations? What happens to those kingdoms now? The kingdom of God is growing and growing and growing. But it's time for it to increase on the earth as it is in the heaven. It's time for the body of Christ, for you and I, to begin to really get focused on the reality. Jesus, you have spoken, this is a reality, and I want to be included in the advancement of your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. I want to be included in my life to be able to know your will and to be involved in seeing your will happen amongst humanity wherever we may be. Haggai speaks about this, where they were meant to start to build the incredible temple, and they were so consumed about building their own little houses, and they were always battling, never enough, never enough, never enough, always short, never always battling. And God sends a prophet and says, your focus is wrong. You focus on your own lives. You're not focused on the will of God. Seek first the kingdom. And when they repented in that and they began to seek the kingdom of God, they started to see the incredible protection of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God upon them as a nation. Let's learn from the believers in the past that has taught us so much. Now we go and we see this reality when Jesus is tempted. And shall we see there in Matthew chapter 4, where by the Spirit of God, Jesus is led into the wilderness, and the devil takes him to a high mountain. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord will be the chief, speaking about kingdoms. And so Satan leads Jesus to the top, and he says to Jesus, and the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. But it had been written in Daniel that a kingdom of God will overrule all those kingdoms. Satan is opposing. Satan wants to frustrate. Satan wants to stop the will of God from manifesting on the earth. Your destinies, our lives, the purpose of God for our lives, Satan will try everything to try and stop that from taking place. But we need to learn how to decree over our lives. We need to learn how to decree over our families. We need to learn how to decree over our nation the will of God. Not our will, the will of God. So God spoke to Daniel. Now the devil wants to knows that, hey, a king has been born. Gee, I remember something, he's probably thinking about that discussion between Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, because I was there. I've been here a long time on this planet Earth and in the darkness. And now these wise men come and they say, yeah, the king has been born, and whoops, it's time. Whoops, it's time for this to be fulfilled. So, let's try and stop that. And so Jesus goes and he says to him, and this is what, first of all, what Satan says, all this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. When Jesus spoke about the revelation that his father had given to Simon Peter, that Jesus is the anointed one, he is the Messiah, he is the anointed Son of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, the gift of discernment, discern the spirits. Jesus was anointed. So Peter, by the revelation of the Father, but you are the anointed one. The Spirit of God has anointed you. You are the Son of God. And that's when Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Peter, and gives him a promise. See, God had spoken to Daniel about a kingdom that's not going to fail. And he says, but now, Peter, let's speak, get a bit more clarity on the prophetic word long time ago. I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose, will happen here on earth as it is in heaven. And the gates of Hades will not be able to overcome this. See, Jesus is operating totally on the word of God, totally speaking the reality of what was spoken and bringing it in, because he now is bringing in the kingdom. That was a shadow, that was a prophetic word for a future. And Jesus is bringing it in. So when you and I begin to understand, wow, Lord, when we understand that all things belong to you, you are God, you are the Lord of the heavens and the earth, but your kingdom is about your manifestation here on earth through us as believers, because you have given us the authority, the keys is the authority. You have given us authority to release your will that's in heaven. That's what it means to loose. That which has been released, that which is your will, you have given us authority to release that here on earth. But also the binding, you have given us the authority, that which you are not allowing to happen on earth. You have given us the authority not to allow that. So, the word of God has been released through the Daniel prophet, Prophet Daniel. This is what's going to take place. The opposition, the devil's coming and says to Jesus, worship me, worship me. Jesus is showing us how to bind and loose. Jesus is walking in the will of the Father. He's releasing the kingdom and is forbidding the enemy to oppose the will of God with the authority that he has. God loves this nation so much, he's given this nation the ecclesia. You and I, believers, to advance his kingdom. We can be so political focused that we are not kingdom focused. We can be so politically controlled that we are so focused in that, and we're not seeking first the kingdom and getting involved in advancing the kingdom so that people's hearts are changed. Can't bring a law to change corruption. Got to have a new heart. You see, it's the power of the cross. And God said, my answer for my nation, for South Africa, is the centrality of the cross of Jesus. He doesn't mess around with us. He doesn't lie. It's serious. And we need to be serious about to truly know that God, what your son did, oh, you must go. Guys, go be yoked with Jesus. Be yoked with him on the cross. Be yoked with the Father and the Son. And ask and just be yoked in the depth of the love that's in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the reality of the sacrifice and his death. Get yoked into that and it burns within you. Let it burn. Let it become a reality. Let it become life. The depth of the love of the Father for humanity. The depth of Jesus, what he did for our benefit. And the incredible love of the Holy Spirit in making it all real to you and I, to humanity, and not giving up. See, so when we decree, we're not decreeing because we're uncomfortable. We're not decreeing because we don't like and we fear. We decree because our hearts are filled with the love of God, full of faith expressed through love. That's the decree for your family. Not because you want a lovely life. No. You want them to experience it. Powerful work of Jesus Christ and setting captives free and letting them come into the incredible quality of God's eternal life, full of love because you believe what Christ has done. Yoke yourself with Jesus there at the cross. Let it go deep. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. He gives us the keys of the kingdom. That what our Father wants to release, his kingdom come, his will to manifest on earth. That's what the kingdom of God's all about. We have the authority to do it. In the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. But Satan will oppose. We have the authority, the keys of the kingdom, to not allow the enemy to oppose the will of God for this nation, for this town, for the town that we're living in, for our families. We will not allow doubt, discouragement. One of the biggest voices of the enemy is to voice discouragement to us. Doubt. That's all the opposition to God's plan for one's family, for God's plan for one's nation. All the time. No, we are not going to allow that to take place because we're seeking the kingdom. We are people of faith. We've got faith in our hearts. We've got love burning for the lost. You see the time we're in? And we're wanting to decree the increase of this. That involves us to say, yes, God, increase, increase, increase. That's why we cannot hold offense towards. No, 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 no. That's darkness. No, 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 no. Increase. Increase. Yoked with Jesus, you increase in capacity to walk in the ways of God. If you yoke to self, you don't have capacity to walk in the Spirit. Yoke yourself with Jesus. He says, pick up my yoke. You and I need to pick it up. He's not going to put it on us. You and I pick it up. And we yoke ourselves with Jesus. We have the capacity to walk with him, to do the will of the Father, to know the will of the Father, because we're yoked with him, the way, the truth, and the life. We're in war, guys. So when God spoke years, years back, in Isaiah chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 2, in the last days the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. Where did Satan take Jesus? To the high mountain. Showed him the kingdom of the mountains. But God had spoken to Daniel and said, no, 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 no. In the last days, there's going to be a kingdom, a mountain that's higher than any. It's going to grow. Coming out, no humans touch it because it's my divine, credible way of doing things. And it's growing. And we now are moving into the manifestation like never before. This mountain that has been established above all mountains. Thick darkness covers the earth. But the glory of God rises upon us. The increase of God's glory. We will come back to that as we decree. Let me quickly go to Matthew chapter 17. This is where the transfiguration takes place. There's many more scriptures, but we'll include that in the decree. Here we see, after 6 days, verse 1, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses, Elijah, and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified, but Jesus came and touched them. Very important. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Here, an incredible prophetic word for us right now, in this amazing event that took place with Jesus. He takes them up to the high mountain. There's Peter, there's James, and there's John. And then he was transfigured. Transfigured is from 2 words, with change. So it's you are with somebody and there's a change that takes place. It goes to the root where that change is the very nature that begins to manifest. So Jesus, fully God, fully man, is in this man's body, and who he really is starts to shine forth. That's transfiguration. He now is manifesting in the glow. He is the Son of God. He is the glory of God. And so there's this incredible truth about who he really is starting to shine forth. And the disciples saw that for a moment before he had to just hid himself. Now, it's fascinating because in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see the same reality. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we see over here where we see the ministry of the new covenant. And I'm going to just read from verse 7. Elijah and Moses is there with Jesus. "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of his glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is a ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that which was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts?" And then he carries on and he speaks about the veil. But then he carries on, "In Christ Jesus that veil is removed. Even to this day when Moses has read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Why? Because the old has gone. That flesh veil of the old man is no longer our reality. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So who? What's inside? We have Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be transformed? What does it mean to be changed? We start to become who we really are in the Spirit. Okay? So Jesus showed us who he really was. That was really what was, he was living out what was inside of him. But let's carry on. "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Spirit is Lord of your life." That's what it's saying. Where the Spirit is Lord of your life, there is freedom. There's no freedom when the Holy Spirit is not Lord of one's life. No. Only when we have yielded to the Holy Spirit, keep in step with the Holy Spirit, and He will not gratify the desires. So if we've got issues, the Holy Spirit's not our Lord. That's pretty blunt, but that's the reality. No pretense. It's the real reality of knowing what it is to seek the kingdom of God. The King. We yielded to the King who wants to bring in the manifestation of His kingdom by the anointing, by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we are not yielded to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to see the manifestation of the kingdom. So where a believer who has yielded to the Holy Spirit is Lord of their life, there the kingdom manifests. But not only that, what takes place? And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, remember, to be with, metamorphosis, to be with, change. Now we are with Jesus, we are yoked with Jesus, we are face to face, we are in unity with Jesus, we are united with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we who with unveiled faces, that old flesh is no longer our reality, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. As we reflect, as we look, as we are with the Lord, we look at His glory, because now we can see the reality of who He is. We are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the first thing God starts to speak to us about the increase of His glory is for us as believers to have the increase. So that's who we really are, begins to manifest from our lives. So when Jesus says you are the light of the world, our face is shining, the manifestation of what's really inside of us. So as we walk in the Spirit, as we keep in step with the Spirit, as we hold and face and unite ourselves with and we see the glory of the Son of God, that's why guys get yoked with Jesus, go to the cross and get yoked with Him there and see the glory of God in the death of His Son Jesus. See the glory of God in the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. See that glory in that. The love of God motivates when we see us. And so here we have this an amazing truth, where as we now begin to behold Him and yield to the Holy Spirit, something takes place. There's an increase of God's glory manifesting from our lives. Glory to glory. So we want to decree greater glory. We want to decree the greater manifestation of the glory of God. Guess where it's going to come from first of all? From who we are as children of God, walking in the Spirit, loving God, listening to Him, doing what He's saying. When the Holy Spirit gives us truth, we take hold of that truth. We experience the freedom, and because now the Holy Spirit is taken from Jesus, shared us the truth, we've taken hold of that, we now yield it to the Holy Spirit, His Lord, we find the freedom, truth sets free, because we're holding on. Now that doesn't stop there. And then so Jesus, He now continues in this encounter with the transfiguration. Peter said, "Oh, now there's Elijah and there's Moses over there." Very important. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, if it's good for us to be here, let us build these shelters." Most commentators again will say, "Now Peter's just one of those, he just speaks." No. Who of you have been in a greater manifestation of the glory of God? You want to hide. Peter is experiencing the glory of God over here in the disciples. You want to hide. Ask me. It's real. The manifestation of the glory of Jesus in this town, in this nation, the manifestation of the glory of our Lord Jesus in this place, the tendency for us, we want to build a shelter just to hide. Moses, I've got to put you behind the rock to shield you from my glory because you will not able to see me and live. And we're asking God, increase the manifestation of your glory. We have to learn how to walk in the finished work of Jesus to be able to stand in the glory of God. Otherwise, we'll be like Peter. Let's put a shelter just to... It's too much for us to handle. Some of you know because you want to run away when God steps in a greater manifestation of His presence, because you realize when Isaiah chapter 6, woe is me, my lips are unclean, and you want to run away, and the Father says, no, that's old covenant. A new covenant, you're in my Son. Where's my Son? See, learn to appropriate, Lord, I'm washed in your blood. Learn to appropriate in the new covenant, the veil is gone, I can now behold the glory and grow ever increasing in the reality of being in the manifest presence of God. That's what the glory of God is, it's His manifest presence. So we have the kingdom, His manifest rule and His will, the glory, His manifest presence. Open the gates that the King of glory may enter in. Just open our hearts. Open the gates. Open the gates of your soul, of our soul. Open the gates of our emotions. Open the gates of our thoughts, our minds. Open the gates of our past and our history so that the King of glory can come in. And let the rule of Christ, the finished work of Jesus, the redeeming work, begin its work in our lives. And let the manifest presence of God dwelling within us become more and more and more evident, so that you'll know that you're not alone. You will know the love of God. You're ready to be changed. But look at this. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased, listen to him." This is exciting. As we decree for the more of a greater manifestation of God's divine presence and his will, this glory of God that's not only within us, it's starting to shine, we're starting to live as children of light, we are light of this town, of this nation, etc., etc. But there's a manifest presence of God. The cloud. There's a manifest presence of God over a community, over a nation. And over this manifestation of God, manifestation of His presence, the voice of God starts to be heard amongst many people. And as a result of that, just like these disciples, they fell face down as fear because they heard God. There will be a holy fear that will grip the body of Christ in South Africa, because we are decreeing, no longer playing around, and God is, no. There will be a holy fear, a love for Him, obedience to Him, doing His will. That's incredible. And you've got to be yoked with the Father to know what this holy fear is all about. Otherwise, it's just, you won't get it. You see, all the time there's invitation by the Holy Spirit. Holy fear, what does that mean? Get yoked with the Father. Get yoked with the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then you'll begin to experience the incredible joy and this incredible reality of freedom in this holy fear of God. It is so safe. It is so, so good. Be yoked with Jesus. Don't let us not be yoked with our carnal mind and our excuses. No, be yoked with Jesus. And we will find as believers, I just saw a heading, I haven't gone into it. When you get born again, I'm not looking for a way to sin. I'm looking for a way to stay free. Because His blood has redeemed me. So I'm living free. I'm not looking for a way to try and sin. That's not who we are. And so we've started to see this. And then this voice comes, and this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And this for me is so exciting. Because there was Elijah, there was Moses, the law and the prophets. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, in the past God spoke to the people through the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken through His Son Jesus. And for the first time, many, many people are going to now begin to hear the voice of the Father, of God the Father, through Jesus Christ. No longer listening to the voice of everything else. No longer will the body of Christ, when we decree the increase of the manifest presence of the whole, of the glory of God, and this covering, this manifestation of God's presence in a town, no longer will people be listening to 101 voices. They will know this is God. They will know Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know, but when I got converted, that's what happened to me as well. I didn't know anything about the gospel and things like that. When I was a kid, I went to a Presbyterian church. It was a duty, but very, very seldom, because I had a bicycle. So I had a free will to rather go exploring town than going to a boring Sunday school class. Eventually, my parents got saved, but there was a night when God stepped into my room, the manifest presence of God, and I knew Jesus was the way. I know nothing about the Bible, but I knew, Jesus, I need you. See, when the Shekinah glory, when this manifest glory of the Father covers a city, people know they need Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit's coming, and He will convict the world of the unbelief. He will convict them of their sin of unbelief, of righteousness and judgment. Jesus says, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will testify about me, but you too must testify about me. So as we decree none of the manifestation of the Holy of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit is actively involved in the manifestation of the glory of God. His presence in a town depends on how big your faith is right now. If you can believe for the nation, I've stood on the mountain and I've seen this going I've seen it going into Africa. I believe. I've got the faith for that. But you might only have the faith for the family or, but He's authorized us this morning to make a decree. He's authorized us to forbid. And you might want to learn from this in your own personal life. What's God's plan for your family? Who's trying to prevent it from taking place? Are you going to get sucked into the arguments of all that junk? Or are you going to be above and decree the plan of God for my family? And I now forbid every demon is trying to prevent that from taking place. I declare that no weapon formed against my family will prosper. No weapon in the name of Jesus. I declare in the name of Jesus that God Himself will frustrate the plans of the enemy. Loose the authority. Loose and bind with the will of God. Not your will, the will of God. You ready for transformation? We're stepping into a far greater manifestation. It's time. So, those in the witchcraft, those in the occult, on the 31st worldwide, they made their decrees. They wanted the will of Satan to manifest. They've got their plans. They've got how many abortions must be done in Sasselburg in the next couple, in this year. They've given that out to all those that captured by the abortion stuff. They've already written how many divorces, how many, Nate, come on, you guys, you've got a job to do. The devil says to all his demons that are now controlling men and women all over, December's coming, but we come, God, your will be done. We've got a job to do. We can allow it or we can forbid it. We can allow the kingdom of God to manifest or we can let the enemy just continue another year in our families and our nation. Or we can say, no, 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 no. We now come against and we will forbid everything that's coming against the plan of God for my family and my town. So for 1947, we know the glory of God, we know the kingdom and the manifestation of his rule and reign and the manifestation of his divine presence. Isaiah chapter 4, and the glory of God will be a canopy over all. We know what's frustrating that, what's coming against that will of God. We have the keys, we have the authority to say no more, no more. Let it be done, Lord, as you have decreed. So that's what it is. So in your own personal lives, for those who want to get married, God, your will for a partner for my life, what's frustrating that? You see, when you are involved and you've got family members that are shangomas, you know that they've put a spell to prevent you from finding true love. You have the authority to break that and the will of God for my life. We can't blame. We live beyond the blame game. We live in the fruit of kingdom. And we decree the will of God over our lives. So you want to know what God's plan is for your life? Yoke with Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can just begin to decree, Jesus, you know the way. I'm yoked with you. I'm not lost. We are finding it together because you know the way. Thank you. Now, every demon that's trying to oppose this, I forbid you to operate in my life in the name of Jesus. We forbid the opposition to the will of God by us walking in obedience to the will of God. It's one thing, I forbid. No. Walk in obedience to the will of God. Jesus walked in obedience every single time. That's how he stopped the works of Satan. 1 John chapter 3, the reason that Jesus came, he said, I've come to destroy the works of Satan. He was obedient. You and I can start pressing into that as we yoked with the destroyer of the works of Satan, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's fight for our families now. Let's fight for our town. Let's decree and move forwards. Father, what a joy. Wow, where heaven is standing. The angels, Father, thank you for them waiting for this moment. First of all, I release your fire all around of protection. Thank you. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We see how Satan tried to get you to yield to him. But you are the victorious Son of God. And so together, Lord Jesus, we want to make this decree yoked with you, as you taught us in those first few verses of the prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we release and we decree together with you, Lord Jesus, as you spoke to the disciples, that you have given us, we as the ecclesia, we have the keys of the kingdom. That whatever, Lord Jesus, you have authorized us to do in your name, we can have the authority to do that. And so we make this decree of your kingdom to increase, your kingdom's presence to manifest here in this nation, and into those nations of Africa. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven, in the name of Jesus. I declare and I decree that no weapon formed against the kingdom manifestation of Christ the King will prosper against us. The gates of Hades will not override, will not prevail, because the kingdom of God triumphs over all. And I declare and I decree over the body of Christ, your very words, Jesus, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, No matter the so-called kings of the nations, we arise above, and Jesus, we operate with your authority to go into all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that you have taught us, how to watch over that your teachings, how to walk in your teachings, how to live in the reality of your teachings. And you are with us always to the very end of the age. So we release our decree that into the body for the activation of the body of Christ, walking in the fulfillment of the great commission of yours, Jesus Christ, right through Africa, your glory. And in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree over South Africa and over those nations in Africa, I decree the glory of God to increase in its manifestation. I decree over the body of Christ for the transfiguration, for who we really are as children of God, to begin to manifest at a far greater degree of glory than what we've ever had experienced before through our lives. I decree in the name of Jesus for the body of Christ, the new covenant ministers, that we will now minister in the anointing of the Holy Spirit with the glory that's everlasting, increasing, that breaks through the realm of darkness into the hearts of men and women to bring life and freedom in Jesus' name. I decree over you, South Africa and Africa, that the increase of God's manifestation, of God's presence, will manifest at a far greater intensity than what it's ever done before, in the name of Jesus. I decree a holy fear, the fear of God, to ripple through and to grip the nations, a true repentance, but they will now begin to be released from old covenant and enter into the reality that in these days you have spoken through your Son Jesus, who you love. And I decree a revelation of your love for your Son and your love for mankind, but also the gospel, your good news in and through your Son Jesus Christ. So I call forth evangelists, I call forth teachers, I call forth the body of Christ to arise, because the increase of God's glory is upon us, and we've stepped into it as from today in a greater level. Jesus, this is done because of your blood. Thank you for the power of your blood. Can you see the blood flowing into the nations? Can you see the kingdom of God as people are being released from the dominion of darkness? Can you see the harvest? Can you see the chains falling off? Can you see the freedom? Can you see the whole earth is covered with the glory of God as the waters cover? Can you see the new song rising up from the hearts of the redeemed? Can you see the song of the Lamb? Can you hear the song of the Lamb, the redeemed? Sing a new song, redeemed, in the name of Jesus. Sing a new song. Sing the song of deliverance. Sing the song of the glory of God. Sing the song of the genuine kingdom of God. And I call in the name of Jesus the prodigals to come home now. Hear the voice of God as the Shekinah glory covers the very places that you are dwelling in. Hear the love of the Father. Hear the voice of Jesus because of the Father's love. And I call you to come back to the Father in the name of Jesus. And we receive the prodigals, Father. Thank you for the deliverance. And this we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the angelic realm that is going to help us. But thank you, Holy Spirit, for your might. Thank you, Jesus, for your victory. Thank you, Father, for the depth of your love for all, in and through Jesus Christ. Amen. A quick testimony from Eddie.
I think the testimony can be called forgiveness and the power of forgiveness. So 2 weeks ago, the Friday and the Saturday, I had immense pain in my back. It's like I couldn't move. It was nearly like somebody is busy with a knife in my back. And as a family, we often pray, and my wife prayed, I prayed. The Sunday morning, I told her, let's have coffee. After coffee, breakfast, please get the anti-inflammatory. And while we were having coffee, Holy Spirit clearly spoke in my mind and it said, Eddie, you made a mess. And I exactly knew what it was. On the Thursday, we had our year-end function, and this is no judgment or condemnation, but through our daughter, and God spoke that, don't attend and don't go on all these different rides there at Gold Reef City. I went, and the first one they went was the Anaconda and go there and many things. The whole day I wasn't comfortable. But it's a young group that I'm working with and just enjoy the day. So do in Rome as the Romans do, something like that. And I had this clear conviction that I made a mess. And I went and I asked, and I just started praying. I remembered about Robert Henderson, and we spoke about forgiveness and the steps of forgiveness, and just asked God forgiveness through Jesus, forgive myself, set the people free, just and agreed that I made a mistake, agreed with that. And my wife said I had tremendous authority while I was praying. I wasn't aware of it. She was sitting with me. The moment I got up, no pain, nothing at all. So praise be to God. But also for me, a big testimony, a big lesson in just to forgive yourself, to know what you've done wrong, and to accept the forgiveness, the blood of Jesus, how He overcame, and being set free. So glory to Jesus.
Amen.